This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 257 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com. And joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Good. Yeah, I'm good. 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 Good.
Okay. I guess you're good.
I'm okay.
How's your week been?
It's good.
Okay then.
I've had a okay week.
Okay.
Now, I don't actually think about it until you get asked those questions, but it's been like a bit of an up and down week, had a bit of a frustrating workshop last Saturday.
Nobody else cares enough to ask you, eh?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, it's not when the wife comes home from work, she goes, "What did you do, you lazy slack ass bugger today? You know? How many naps did you have, and did you actually put some effort in today?" That's kind of the typical conversation.
Yeah, I put some effort into my nap.
It's not much. Yeah. The worst because I laid on the left hand side of the couch, then I laid on the right hand side of the couch. I had to get up and move in between.
So why was last week's workshop so frustrating?
I had a participant who didn't want to participate.
Right.
It was
can lead a horse to water.
Whilst we're setting up this awesome portrait of my character mate Pete, she wants to take photographs of drain pipes in bad light. Yeah, I set up another lovely shot of my mate Pete. She takes a photo of a can in a gutter.
Right.
And pretty much so on and so forth.
Okay.
For the whole afternoon. And it's like, yeah, are you going to come shoot this? Oh, no. It's like, okay.
So was this an understanding your camera or was this a portraiture?
This is a natural light portrait workshop, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So why did she attend a portraiture workshop if she didn't want to shoot portraits?
Yep.
Right, okay then.
See, much what I was asking was the same question. And for a while there, I thought it was me, you know, that I was, you know, either not giving her what she wanted, but yeah, then I looked at my photos and they were really good, so that can't have been true. No, and when I say that, what I'm saying is the photos look like my photos look like.
Sorry?
The photos we were taking
look
like the photos I take.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you book yourself to come onto a workshop based on, well, I've seen this person's photos and I like those photos.
Yeah.
Well, those are the photos we were taking. So it wasn't like I wasn't, you know, providing the images that people are used to seeing of my work.
Yeah.
It was, on a par. It wasn't the best of light days. It was the most, it wasn't an awful lot of good stuff happening with light, but we still got some nice photos.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know. What can you do? But I did, what happened is the day before the workshop, I've been rebuilding all my PowerPoint presentations, and I decided that I was going to do the natural light one the day before the workshop. I was going to completely rebuild it.
Okay.
And I finished it by 3 o'clock that morning, 180 pages of PowerPoint in a day done.
What?
Or keynote in a day done. And completely rebuilt it with entire new learnings, entire new descriptions, total change, yeah? And I was running through it on, 4 hours sleep for the first time ever, because I hadn't even gone through the slides to see if they were in the right order.
Right.
It was 3 o'clock in the morning when it finished. So I actually had to sit there and talk through the 2 hour talk in the morning, unrehearsed. No idea what I was actually going to say. And it worked a treat. It was fantastic. And so I was on a high. Come lunchtime, I was on quite the high.
Yeah.
And then this in the afternoon. Still, yeah. So that was a bit funny, but I was really pleased with the presentation.
Oh, well, that's the main thing.
Really pleased with the way that's come out. And I had a pen and paper to take notes whilst I was doing the talk to see where it stagnated or where it stopped.
Oh, okay.
And in the 2 and a bit hours of talking that I do, I took two notes, and they were both really more about maybe put one of these images in there as well.
Right.
So that was pretty good. I was pretty pleased with that.
Yeah.
So the new presentation went well, and it's a new widescreen format. So everything looks different because all the images are on widescreen rather than my normal ratio.
Yep.
So it's interesting going through your photos and trying to find photos that will work in a widescreen format.
Yeah, right.
When you don't shoot widescreen photos.
Right.
I shoot for the composition that I see.
Yep.
I don't shoot for an eventual wide format 16:9 ratio.
Mm.
So it's interesting going through your photos and see what photos hold up with that new crop.
Yep.
That was a good experience in itself. I think that was a good part of the day on the Friday before the workshop doing that. So it was interesting.
Right.
And then I've been sort of subjecting my poor children to 5-minute photo shoots.
I've noticed.
Pretty much every night. Yeah. I've been, here's the thing, I haven't been feeling very creative lately.
Oh, okay.
You know, as far as, I've been doing a lot of understanding your camera workshops.
Yep.
Not much in the way of flash and not much in the way of natural light ports. So I haven't been doing a lot of, you know, trying to capture great photographs, but more trying to explain the technology of photography.
Right.
So I haven't really been, exercising my creativity to say much. So, but by the time I've been involved in doing something photographically during the day as far as working on presentations or answering emails or just somehow involved in imagery but not doing anything. So by the time the kids come home, it's like, oh, I'm in a mood. I want to take me some photos, you know. And, I wanted to be involved in my photography. Yeah, that evening, yeah, you know, I take the photos during the day and I process them at night. You know, give me something to sit in front of the TV and
yep.
and have some new images to look at rather than the ongoing stuff. You know,
right.
so that was an interesting exercise in itself is to pull your kids home every night and shoot them a bit differently. And tonight we went nutso. I grabbed Miss 6.5 and dragged her down to a little bit of grass down near the local creek.
Yeah.
Off camera flash.
Oh, okay.
So our 5-minute photo shoot became 10 minutes.
Oh,
right. Well, we had to drive there and had to set the flash up on the stand.
Right.
That took 5. So the shoot itself was only 5 minutes, but you know, the effort of getting there took. I must confess. Can I confess? Can I use this as a confessional? Forgive me, Bruce, for I have sinned.
Okay.
It wasn't really a 10-minute photo shoot. Well, it wasn't really a 10-minute session.
Right.
It was more like a 20-minute one. Do you know why?
Why?
Because we drove there. We got out of the car. We drove down. I walked down to where, you know, I've never been to this spot before. Walked down this bit of grass. Oh, there's a nice piece of grass. Let's shoot there. Yep. Set the flash up on the stand. Got the whole thing going. Ready to go. You shooting with my Elinchrom Quadra kit.
Yep.
Got it all set up. Yeah, battery packs up and going. So I'll just do a quick exposure check, do a test, took a photo, look at the back of the camera.
Batteries are flat.
No carbon camera.
No!
And, of course, all I've got with me is the lens,
yeah.
The camera body, and the flash. So I just grab all the stuff, walk back to the car, shove it all in the car, drive all the way back home, all of four or five minutes, grab the gear, grab the card, drive back again, walk back down, set it all up and do it all over.
That's frustrating.
Oh, and all the way back, my daughter's saying she's trying to be helpful. Yeah, it's like shut up, don't poke the bear. Quite like that. That's how I was feeling. It's like just. So yes, yeah, so that was good. I love the shot I took of my daughter today.
It's nice. I like it.
There's two. I put another one up just then. There's some variations because I took half a dozen photos or so. It's a little bit more. Arty than
okay.
just a photo, rather than just a photo. I mean, both of them are the images from today are a bit more arty than just my kid against a wall, sort of thing.
I think I like the second one better.
They're just different.
Yeah,
they just kind of tell different things. Yeah, different, slightly different stories. Obviously different edit, which was half the point of it. Play around, and edit a little bit differently,
color processing, and
And the number two kind of reminds me of the Led Zeppelin cover.
Oh, okay.
It's a sort of tonal.
Right.
Led Zeppelin 3, I think it is. Or 4. Yeah. Whichever one's got Stairway to Heaven on it.
Right.
That's been my week, anyway. How about your week?
Lots of conversations back and forth between myself and Kidney Health.
Yes.
Just sort of
did you ask him about the rallying not being good for kidneys? And is that.
No.
ask them next week.
I'll wait until after the event.
Oh, good. Wait until the check.
Yeah, so just...
I'm very curious.
just nutting out details and getting everything organised. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Because on a similar vein
yeah.
to the kidney, not vein, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Kidney, vein.
Right.
so kidney health. So two things. Another one just hit me just then. I heard on the radio today, scientists have discovered that tobacco helps kill cancer. How's the irony of that?
Yeah, right.
Seriously. Not the nicotine and the tar and the tobacco itself.
Oh,
the actual
okay.
leafy product. There's something in it which can help kill some forms of cancer. So I thought the irony there was quite amazing.
Yeah.
And speaking of kidney health, this week I received a kid's CD from a
Oh, I saw that on your Facebook.
So, yeah, I helped to kickstart a project. He's a bassist in one of my favourite bands.
Oh, okay.
He's done his kids' album. And yeah, I've heard some of his other kids' songs, so I knew it was going to be pretty good. But he's got this song, speaking of kidney health, and it's called The Kidney That Lived in Four People. Right. And it's a true story, Bruce. It's a true story.
Really?
Yeah, so it's this... Now, the names may be made up.
Right. Okay.
But there's this kidney that lived inside Sydney, a little girl called Sydney.
Yeah.
And her brother Tim was sick, so she decided she'd give her kidney to Tim.
Right.
So they cut up in Sydney and took out a kidney and put it in Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah. But after a few weeks went by, Tim wasn't particularly improving, but there was a guy down the corridor called Jim.
Right.
Who needed a kidney. So they took it out of Tim and put it in Jim.
Right.
So the kidney's now been in three people.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Sydney was once inside her mother. And that
Right.
The kidney lived in four people, and it's a true story. And apparently, everyone's doing well.
Wow.
So there's a story to send to your kidney health people.
That's amazing.
Get the song.
Yeah.
Maybe a good theme song whilst you're driving along during the rally. Mm. Blare it out the window, big speakers. You've seen the Blues Brothers? You know, the scene where they're driving.
The massive speaker on the roof.
Yeah, it looks like a rally car in itself. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Through the week, I saw a great quote from your mate, David Duchemin.
He started following me on Instagram yesterday.
Did he?
He did.
Oh, he's got no taste. He said, this is great. He posted this on his own Facebook wall.
Yeah.
He said, it's good you're frustrated. Too few people have something burning inside them that matters this much. But be gentle with yourself. Treat the artist with patience. Learn your craft, play with the camera, and take it out into your life and let it show you how the world looks through your eyes. Don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Live a big story full of honest emotion. Photograph that.
That's not bad, is it?
That's great.
But see, it's what I've been trying to say for these many a month. Everything the guy says is like that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm serious. The books and his videos are full of stuff that just hits home. You know, that's exactly it, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I've said I'm not necessarily a big fan of his photography.
Yeah.
While some of it is excellent, some of it I'm going, yeah. It's okay. But like, that's everyone's photos. yeah, include my own. So I'm saying that's everyone's work. Not every single photography, not every single person's photo is fantastic. Yeah, some good stuff, some not so good stuff.
Yeah.
But so I don't necessarily particularly like all of his photography, but I love the way he thinks about photography.
Yeah.
Yeah, his thought process. And it's funny you should mention him. It's funny you should bring him up.
Right.
Because I was going to talk about him tonight as well.
Oh, okay.
In that he's got two free ebooks out there.
Oh, okay.
If people want to have a bit of a download.
Yeah.
And it's called Craft and Vision 1 and 2.
Right.
Very original. The second one, he could have come up with something. The first one could have been Craft and the second one Vision. Yeah, two, yeah. One. Anyway. So Craft and Vision 1 and 2. Now, the links will be in the show notes this week.
Yeah.
And it's going to be full of stuff like you just said. Stuff that really helps you understand your craft and understand how to make your vision work and what vision is really about. I mean, that vision is basically your viewpoint of the world. You know, vision is not what you see, it's what you think.
Yep.
Your belief systems, your pragmatism, your whatever frustrates, whatever gets you upset, whatever emotionally tugs at you, that's all your vision.
Yep.
Go and shoot that, you know. So we should definitely, if you're out there and you like a good ebook. Or even these ones, they're free. Go get them, you know. And yeah.
Next thing that I came across was a portfolio of images by a Russian photographer. I'll try not to butcher this, Katerina Plotnikova.
Sounds like KGB to me. Yeah. Plotnikova, take him over.
She's done a series of images with a couple of different models who are stunning young redheaded girls with animals, but there is no Photoshop. These are real animals in all of these images.
There's lots of Photoshop.
You don't. Yes. There's Photoshop, but not in a compositing sense.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, there's just some really interesting images, and you know, the one with the bear that just freaks me out because knowing what bears are like, they could just turn in a heartbeat. But had you looked at the series?
No, I did see them on the net early this week, and just the bear one just didn't do anything for me at all. So I just didn't the bear one where the bear's sniffing her underneath her chin. That's cool,
right? Yep.
Yeah, have you seen that one?
Yes, it's further down there. I'm just scrolling down at the moment.
If you look on her hand, there's like just one claw sort of digging into her hand. It almost looks like her dress is being pulled tight.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a tension in that, which is not in the first one.
No.
The first one, there's space, there's I don't know, it just
first,
doesn't...
The
just
first one's a bit of a snapshot.
Yeah. I mean, I love the one with the snake, with the redhead. I mean, that's fantastic. And the coral snake or whatever it is for that coloration.
Yeah.
No, she's another one of those absurdly talented photographers.
It's a very interesting series. Like, it's not the sort of stuff you normally find.
No, they're great. They're exceptionally good.
Hmm. So anyway, the link will be in the show notes for those that want to check it out.
Thank you.
Did you see the one about the coffee shop that looks like a Rolleiflex in Taiwan, South Korea?
I didn't know.
Oh, dude, you got to check it out. I sent you the link. This guy is a retired pilot from the South Korean Air Force.
Yeah.
And he's built this coffee shop. It's like 2.5 stories high, and it's like a reproduction of a Rolleiflex camera. It's amazing.
Yes, yeah, the Rolleiflex cameras were well known for their coffee. He's obviously been on holidays in Australia at some point and got enamored by, you know, the giant
big
pineapple,
things,
giant bananas, the giant koala. I'll do a giant camera. No one's done. Actually, someone has done that. There's a giant camera in Western Australia.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, it's right. A single lens reflex, though. He's trying to go twice as good. He's got a twin lens.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. Great because the two, you know, were the lenses of the camera. They're the windows out of the coffee shop.
Yeah.
But inside the coffee shop, there are lots of old cameras on display, as well as it being a coffee shop.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's very funky. Yeah.
Very mad.
Yeah, exactly.
Very absolutely mad.
The next thing I came across was a link more for my own benefit. I haven't had a chance to read it because I only just found it a few minutes before we started recording. But it was on digitalphotographyschool.com, and it was tips for photographing auto racing. So I'm going to be having a read of that because I figure, hey, you know, every little bit of information helps, you know, and you just never know where you might pick up a tip that you hadn't considered. Otherwise, so I shall be reading that one later, and anyone else who wants to check it out can grab it from the show notes. My next one was, did you see that Reuters are firing their last photographer, a guy who's been shooting for them for 30 years?
Oh, man. Well, he's probably ready to retire anyway. Really? What's he doing hanging on? Go retire. Go sailing or something.
But it just, you know, it's just, you know, further reinforcement to what you've been saying about, you know, the shocking state of the industry.
Yeah. But all you do is pick up any old newspaper and magazine these days and read just the absolute lack of interesting content anyway. So, I mean, it's not just the images that have gone.
Yeah.
I think the editors
need to go before the photographers.
Yeah. And I think, it's really poor journalism these days. All I see from just, I think it's the lowest of low, is all the editors and stuff are doing is surfing around the internet trying to find interesting things and putting them in to fill out the content of the newspapers and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's disgraceful. If your entire content of your program is nothing but finding other people's stuff on the internet and talking about it, I mean, really, why would you do it?
Boom, Tish.
That but my local paper, seriously, well, my local major state newspaper has been doing that. Everything's like, top 10 this and 15 ways to do that. And like, it's just stuff that's stealing off the internet. Yeah. I said, dude, you're stealing my shtick.
Yeah. At least we're not charging you for it, dear listener. and the last one that I came across, again, I haven't had a chance to read the whole article. Sony unveils a new
push... So you haven't looked at any of it, in other words?
No, I have looked at some of it.
You saw the headline and go, that'll do. That'll fill out 2 minutes.
Sony unveils new push in technology with a curved sensor.
Ooh.
So instead of the...
Oh, I know what they're for. No. Have you seen the new curved TVs that everyone's coming out with? So you can display the photos on those. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, they reckon that the idea of using a curved sensor will mean less vignetting because there's greater sensitivity to light at the edges, so the vignetting effect that some lenses introduce will be kind of counteracted.
Oh, it's going to be closer to the light source, you reckon?
Yeah, maybe that's what it means.
That means the middle bits can be dull.
Yeah, that's right.
It'll be a two-stop drop-off from the front of the sensor to the back.
But they reckon, I saw briefly in the text as I sort of skimmed through it, and I will be going back to read this, that they said by making it a curved sensor, it's getting closer to the way the human eye works, because the cornea is curved as well. So yeah, very interesting. I'm looking forward to reading that one after we finish recording. So
interesting.
Yeah, what do you have on your list?
Was that it? That's all you got.
That's all I got, baby.
That's a 14-minute podcast. Look at that's pretty good. No, here's remember the other week I said the two things are driving me nuts. And I'm realizing now I should never have said it.
Right.
Is that the word nice on your phone?
Oh, yeah.
And, love your work. Because I've had quite a few people commenting now, oh, nice, love your work on my photos. Thank you, Mike Holman. But now when people put the word nice on my photo, I don't know if they're taking the piss. Or whether actually.
You what?
Whether, they're taking the, they're trying to be a bit smart,
right.
Or whether that's actually what they're saying, because I don't know if they've listened to the podcast or not, or is that just literally the comment they're making? So now it's what used to be like, oh, nice, is that the best you've got? Now it's like, nice, well, what do I do with that? Now I should have kept that to myself. It's just gone and done me in. the week just gone for the podcast when it comes out,
right,
had that most infamous of April Fool's Day.
Yes, it did.
And so I thought I'd go around and talk about the pranks our dear industry tried to pull on the world on April the 1st.
Right.
So let me have a look at the phone here. What do we say? So Google have this plugin you can put on your photos called Auto Awesome, right? this is a real thing.
It's the unsuck button you've always been asking for.
The unsuck filter, yeah. But now they've got Auto Awesome photo bombs, and you press this button, and David Hasselhoff shows up in somewhere in one of your photos.
Nice.
Yeah. So. Photo bombs with David Hasselhoff, which I thought was rather cool. Digital Rev, the big camera supplier out of Honkers, they launched a site called 50 Shades of Pinkenta.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
which is where you buy all your cameras converted to pink because they're sick and tired of black, which I thought was rather marvellous. Canon Denmark came out with a leaked photo of their new 16-600 2.8.
That's right. That actually surfaced last year as well.
It did. Well, this was Denmark this year. So, I mean, you think in a year they'll at least get it down to 12-600 or something, or 16-600 f2 or something. It's could have improved it. A year and absolutely no improvement on their joke. Just terrible. Here's one of my favourites, photo.net. Reveals that there will be a Nobel Prize for achievements in depth of field.
Nice.
This will also mark the launch of a new project meant to bring classic photos into the 21st century by remastering them with tons more bokeh. So that's the note. The link for that one's going to be in the you know, the notes. And that's got a whole bunch of stuff on there that's definitely worthwhile doing.
Excellent.
Well, I love that. Yeah, let's bring it forward and make it look modern. Let's this is a poker and everything, which I think is rather amusing. Kodak announced a Kodak kiosk drone.
Right.
That flies over your head.
Yes.
And allows you to have someone to print your photos no matter where you are. This is full-on quadcopter drone. Yep. Kodak kiosk, which is classic.
And we'll take selfies for you.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll take selfies and print them, of course, if you want them. But my favorite, my absolute favorite, was from a photographer called Jared Hill.
Right.
And he came out with Boudoir for Him. It's called the Brodoir Sessions.
Yes.
Because you're special too. I thought that was just hilarious. Yeah, and you've got to go see, look at the site, look at the advertisements he's got for it and everything. It's terrific. So I was rather impressed with that. There's a few other ones out there, but I thought they were the best ones going around.
Cool.
As far as thing. And this is should almost be in an April Fool's, but it's actually true, this one, because this one came from Hospitality Magazine.
Right.
And it's all these chefs complaining about people coming to their restaurants and taking photos of the food rather than eating it.
Right. Really?
So they've sort of had enough people coming in with a bunch of people, and rather than talking to that bunch of people or savouring the food, the first thing to do when the lovely plates land on the table is pull their phones out and take an Instagram photo.
Yeah, right.
It's
such a Japanese tourist thing to do, isn't it?
Well, you know, everyone does it.
Yeah, I know, but it seemed like the Japanese seemed to be the ones who started it.
Did they?
Well,
I saw another news article this week that apparently, I didn't actually follow it up, but apparently Instagram was down.
Oh, okay.
Or it was showing photographs only from a week ago or something weird like that. But the meme I saw attached to it was incredibly funny. It was a guy holding a phone to his ear and another phone in his hand, and he's just going ballistic on the, he's yelling. He's going, "Look, just describe your lunch to me." Which I thought was, it spoke volumes.
Yeah.
Absolute volumes. And, you know, and I was flicking through and I saw this article of the Canon GX1 review, the new Canon compact camera,
right,
which I'm hearing good stuff about.
Okay.
So I thought, I'll have a look at this. And I went to go click on the site. And there it goes. We put the Canon GX1 into our test lab. And I just couldn't even open the page. When did photography become all about test labs, Bruce?
I don't know.
Yeah, put the camera in a wind tunnel and see how fast the lens is at Mark III on a bloody one of those things that spin you around really fast. Yeah.
The vomit comet.
what's test lab? Do you really want to look at yet another chart of, I don't know, lines and squiggles and dots? Yeah. Because every site that I see that does these incredibly in-depth reviews
can't
take a photo to save himself.
Yeah, right.
The photos are just, show me some great photographs taken with the lens.
Yeah.
Show me some great photographs taken with the camera and tell me how it performed in those situations and how it did a better job than its predecessor would have done or whatever, Or take great photos and analyze it. I know you're not going to be able to recreate the same photo for two different cameras, but I don't really care. All I know is this camera really good? Oh, look at the photos we've got out. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But the problem is almost all the cameras are fantastic.
Yeah.
So, all they'll be able to do is, this one's good too. Oh, yeah, that one's good too. But you put it on a bloody chart and scientifically quantify it. Maybe there's a 0.00372% difference between the two.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to look at test shots in test labs of bloody cameras anymore. I think it's just taking the soul.
Look, while I, as someone who loves technology, I understand the appeal of that kind of depth of analysis. But once you get to the point where the similarities or the differences between two cameras are so close, then really it just comes down to how does the damn thing feel in your hands? To me, that's more important than, you know, if this one's, you know, 0.1% sharper, you know, this lens is a little bit sharper than that lens. Like, whoop-de-doo. Like, how does it feel to me to use? Because that's what I'm going to have to live with. I'm not going to be looking at the chart every time I lift the lens to, you know, the camera to my eye.
Yeah, yeah. This photograph I posted of my daughter tonight that I took of her and with the flash.
Yeah.
Someone posted on Facebook, says, "Come on, give us the specifics. You know, camera, lens used. obviously a Nikon." They've said, you know. And so my response was this. Yeah. This is kind of the antithesis of the camera of the test lab.
Yeah.
Well, the camera, unimportant.
Yeah.
The lens, Tamron 24-70 at about 28-ish. Didn't really pay a lot of attention. This is word for word.
Yep.
The shutter speed and aperture were the numbers they had to be to A, sync with the flash, B, create the scene's mood.
Yep.
The flash, well, it was bare flash, Elecron Quadra Ranger at the right power to get the exposure right. Yeah. How's that?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's come back as well, whatever, you really nailed it. Yeah, whatever. Because I didn't give up. So I'll come back. No, so I had to come back. I couldn't leave it at that. No. So I said, honestly, that's the process.
Yeah.
I don't care about the numbers I use.
Yeah.
Unless I need them to be doing something specific.
Yeah.
So I need to freeze that thing from moving. Therefore, I need a specific shutter speed. Then the shutter speed's important.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I need this aperture to get that little or that much depth into the shot. Then the number's important.
I don't understand the people that always want to know what was the shutter speed and the aperture and the ISO and whatever. It's like, well, unless you were at the same spot at the same time with the same model, with the same setup, having that information is of no benefit to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
crazy.
Yeah. So to me, that's the process is the right ones for the scene.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. And I don't pay it, especially something like this. So it's a very quick setup and a very quick shoot.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting there thinking about it too much. Or no. I just noticed my flash leads in one of the shot. I better go clone that sucker out. But it looks like there's a grass, it's okay. So it's just weird that, you know, what are the numbers? Well, but when you give them the real method of shooting, it's like, yeah, whatever, you're just trying to pull one over me, like, you know, it's not. That's exactly it. So I tried to narrow it down. I said, look, you know, I know for sure the shutter speed was 200 because I wanted maximum flash synchronization speed to knock down the fairly bright afternoon we were shooting in.
Yeah.
So, and then the aperture would have been whatever the aperture was to make the scene underexposed what it was. And I'm guessing, looking at it, was a bit overcast, probably about F13,
right.
F11, F13, F16, somewhere in that zone.
Question, you don't ever chuck on a neutral density so that you can open up your aperture more?
No.
Yeah, right.
Well, there's nothing in the scene that needs blurring out.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, it's, and I'm shooting 24, 28 anyway, so it doesn't really matter if I shoot 2.8 or F11.
Right.
As far as depth of field goes, it's at 28 mil or 24 mil, you're not getting a lot of minimal depth of field anyway.
Yeah,
fair enough. So it's kind of irrelevant. So it was you know, whatever it was. Yeah, but it's just funny how different brands. Now, the guy who asked, he's a film fanatic. Yeah, he's a film dude. You know, maybe he's stuck in those. I've got to know the numbers. I need to know those exact same settings. What can you do?
Strange.
But as I keep saying always, whatever makes you happy, whatever, if that's what makes you happy, to know, to go into that sort of minutia, Mr. I watched a video for 15 minutes on the math of the aperture. Then I saw this other thing just tonight. Funny enough, I was just reading the newspaper in the toilet, as you do.
Yeah.
And about Facebook saved a girl's eyesight.
Okay.
Okay, and that some woman had taken a photo of her child. This is in America, in Texas.
Right.
Taken a photo of a child and posted it up on Facebook.
Right.
And it was a flash photo. And I'm not sure if you're aware that if you have, there's a certain degenerative disease you can have in the eye, especially children get, that when they have it, the eye reflects a different color than red eye.
Oh, wow.
And it's called Coates disease, and I've known about it for quite a few years, but this is what happened to this girl. This lady, you know, she'd... It was only one of her eyes reflected red eye. The other one was kind of greenish, whitish, you know, a bit like dogs.
Wow.
And it was only by two people on Facebook came and said, oh, look, you know, I don't want to alarm you or anything, but I think you should go get it checked out. And it, this girl was having major eye problems.
Wow.
And they said it's amazing that anyone actually came up and that you actually pulled up this early, because what happens is most of them don't recognize they've got a problem with their eyesight until both eyes go.
Oh, jeez.
Because the first eye is so what the functional eye takes over so much, and it's so yep. gradual a process.
Yep.
And she goes, and this girl's amazing. Look, she does gymnastics and walks across balance beams and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Yet she was having major problems with one eye.
Wow.
But because someone spotted this, they actually captured the disease early enough that they could halt it.
Wow.
And fix the problem.
That's awesome.
So it's something I've known about for a while. And it's amazing how often it gets brought up. Funny enough, I'll mention a flash photo or something, and someone says, oh, did you know this thing that you can reflect in children's eyes? I thought, yeah, I did know that. So I don't think it's common knowledge, but it's one of those little weird little things that photography can do to diagnose something. It's just very, very unusual. So I've got a feeling the story was actually a bit of a fluff piece that was not new. I don't think it was a new story. I think it's been dredged up from the past, because they're also talking about some company had donated all this money towards one of their eyesight wings at a hospital, local hospital or something.
Oh, okay.
But I think they just pulled this story out. They've searched the internet for something interesting about eyes and use it as a fluff piece. No. But yeah, that's still very cool. So hey, we passed the word on if anyone ever sees that in a photograph of children's eyes. Now, did you see the link I sent through to you on perfectly timed photographs?
No.
Distractify.com.
I must have missed that one on the chat window, because I thought I'd copied out all of the things you sent
me. It's just under the really, 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 really long one.
Okay.
And just above the...
No. Distractify, there it is. Yep. Okay.
Distractify. You got to look some of these photos with me. I had to stop myself halfway through because I wanted to share them with you and share the joy. And everyone else, I suggest you stop your podcast right now and go to distractify.com and look at these photos, because they're great. So are you scrolling down?
So I've just got to the first one, which has got a massive whale in the background.
Doing a leap and some birds land on you get past it. Go to number three.
Right, which is nice.
How is that incredible timing?
That is awesome.
Perfect timing. Number four is not much fun. Number five.
What is happening in that one? Okay, so there's a baseball.
Shark. Oh, no, yeah. Catching a ball. Okay. So that's not exciting. But number five.
High-fiving the shark.
Shark.
Nice.
Number six is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've seen a lot of these. I love the seagull nicking the guy's ice cream.
Yeah, and you said that, and you said the Obama with the ball of the sun.
Yeah,
yeah. So we keep going. So there's a shot there of lightning and a rainbow at the same time, which
is
pretty
cool. I love the one after that with the fish swimming in front of the guy's head.
It looks like a big fish head. I think some of these may be photoshopped. A great one of the Chinese, I think it's basketball team or gymnastics team at the London Olympics. And NBC's got the logo right over the guy's head. So he's got Dame Edna glasses on.
Yes.
Which is just fantastic. So they're a lot of fun.
I love the lady beetle on the... like the little flower seed bud that's floating in the air. That's just amazing.
I think it's pretty cruel that someone glued it on there just to do the shot. It's just evil. Yeah, there was a chance of catching that
shot.
But
getting focus on that would have been amazing.
Yeah. That makes me think it's fake.
Oh, okay.
What's the chance? I mean, imagine getting that thing flying in midair.
Yeah.
Macro. Do you know what kind of depth of field?
I know.
To get that shot. You're shooting an F-22 or something, you know. To get that in focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you shoot an F-22.
Yeah.
It's natural light. You can tell by the lighting in its natural light.
Yep.
And it's not particularly bright light. It's evenly lit across the whole thing. So it's fairly dull light.
Yeah,
so you're shooting F-22, fairly dull light. And there's not a hell of a lot of noise in the shot. So I'm thinking, okay, what shutter speed's at? A fifth of a second?
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't ring true. You know, I look at stuff like that and go, yeah, does it feel right? I mean, what's the realistic chance of catching something like that floating through midair? Yeah. Because let's face it, that beetle's going to knock that thing down pretty fast.
Yep.
The weight ratio and balance. And once again, its angle, the angle it's on means it's No, I don't know.
It'd have to be spinning, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it just doesn't ring true at all.
Mm. I love the one of the dolphin jumping out of the water right beside the boat.
Yeah, yeah, that happened to me at in LA, up in the Hollywood Hills one time.
What was the dolphin doing up in the Hollywood Hills?
No, it was actually the shark from Jaws.
Right.
Just came out of the water next to this boat full of tourists going through the amusement park, and this thing just leapt out. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. One of my favourites, a couple of down from the ladybird, is the cat silhouette. The cat shadow.
With the eyes. That's a burler.
So people, you just got to look through these people. They're just some terrific stuff. You have to laugh. You think if you do take enough photographs, enough people around the world taking photos, you're going to get some funny stuff. Have you seen the one with the dogs at the barbecue?
Yes.
There's got a dog sucking down the flame.
It's like it's a dragon.
It's all just too funny. There's a cool one. Have you seen the one, the kingfisher?
Yes, with three fish in its mouth.
Three, it's coming out of an ice hole. Everybody. It's coming out of a hole in the ice with three fish.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm starting to think that's not true either. It doesn't look real.
I like the airplane and the giraffes.
Have a look at the shot. Go back to the kingfisher.
Yeah.
It doesn't look real.
In what?
Look at the angle of the splash of the water.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, and the how thin the hole is and the angle the bird would have to...
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, maybe there's some creative.
Although the bird would have come pretty much straight vertical up out of that.
Yeah.
And would have then immediately started to curl over to the left.
It still should be more forward. You think it has to be more forward momentum of the water when it initially hits the water?
Yeah.
Yeah, more to
well,
the
I'm
left.
Well, I'm assuming the bird actually went down completely into the water.
No, a kingfisher wouldn't go underwater.
Won't they?
No.
Okay.
They're like eagles. They'll come down and scoop and pick it up with the surface.
Oh, okay. All right. Maybe it's photoshopped.
So you've got to be careful with these. But the giraffes in the plane is fantastic.
That's great.
But do you know what all I can see when I look at this shot? Because the baby giraffe there. Do you know? Yeah. I can hear the baby giraffe going, "De plane, de plane." You can't. No, everyone's going to look at that and go exactly the same thing. The plane, the plane. Oh, there's one a couple of them where there's a guy throwing his baby up in the air.
Yes.
Just as a stork flight.
Yes. It's excellent. Oh, funny. I like the one three after that with the people on the ferry, and it looks like the guy is a midget riding a girl's back.
Well, unfortunate clothing choice, you'd have
to
say.
Yeah, exactly.
Love. Oh, and the one of the crane a couple down where it's got the moon tank crane. Yeah. That's been well done.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Anyway, we should move on.
No, it's the selfie of the stingray jumping on the women's backs. Yeah, have you seen that one?
It's no.
Shoot three down from the moon. And right. I've seen this one before. It's the ultimate photo bomb. There's these three women up to their shoulders in the water, and this stingray's going to jump out of the water onto their backs just as the photo's taken.
Oh, right.
And it looks like he's photo bombing.
Right, yeah.
I love it.
That's cool.
So make sure you have a gander at those people. They're pretty darn cool. And speaking of great images, then there's the one, then 18 incredible images that won the World Press Photo Awards.
Oh, okay.
And this, yeah, if you just want to sit down and have a cup of coffee at some point and have a look at some great shots, it's, none of the funny stuff in there. It's just lovely photos.
Yeah, right.
Lovely, lovely photos.
I'll have to check those out.
Mm. And I came across another quote this week as well, like you've had your quote. I'll bring my one. It's, and this is fairly obvious, but it's still a nice one. It is the photographing of ordinary things in extraordinary light which results in extraordinary photographs. David Young. Don't know him, but that's exactly it to a T.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you can, it'd be nice to photograph extraordinary things in extraordinary lights.
Yes.
that'll result in even more extraordinary.
Yep.
Extraordinary rarity.
That's right.
extra, yeah. But, that's the idea. Whenever I'm teaching light, it's always, we don't take photos of faces, places, and things. We take photographs of the light on faces, places, and things.
That's it.
But there's a few times we can be in the amazing place with the amazing light. Yeah. Bloody marvellous.
Mm. Now, I see you put in a link for a Zeiss 55mm f1.4.
The most expensive 50-ish mil lens in the world.
Really?
And knocking in at about $4,000.
Wow.
For a 50 mil. But they claim it to be the best lens in the world. Is the blurb from Zeiss. Yeah, it's $4,000 because it's the best. Yeah, mm-hmm. come and buy the best. And this is actually a moderate review as far as, you know, content and interest. And but he hasn't taken it into a lab, which I thought was rather impressive. he's done this really weird thing. He's gone out in the world and take photos of stuff, and then he's analysed the photos.
Right. Who does he think he is?
Oh, I see. No, look. Oh, damn. There is a line. He has turned it in the lab. Look at that. Oh, God. First thing you come across is a test form chart. Yeah. But he does go out in the real world and take photographs and then magnify and look for chromatic aberration and boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
And he compares it to his reviews with, you know, the Nikon 5814 and the Canon 5012. So, yeah, it's probably going to be beyond the price point of most of us to have a...
Yeah,
$4,000 50mm lens. I think you can do a hell of a lot more with your money than that. God, it would be lovely just to own some of this incredible stuff just for a while. just this beautiful, beautiful stuff for a while. You know?
But you're always saying that you're not one who pursues minimal depth of field.
No, I'm not, but I love the... I'm not saying this is going to shoot at 1.4 or 1.2.
Right.
But imagine what it's like at 2.8.
Yeah, be gorgeous.
Imagine how sharp it would be at 2.8.
Oh, would it be tack sharp, mate? Would it be tack sharp?
You know, a little photo angel just died. You I can hear the little fluttering. Hear that? Can you hear that? That's the fluttering wings as the angel falls to the ground. Tack sharp.
Wind him up. Really mean.
But also, you know, I am a bloke.
Yeah.
Right? So I love gadgets and I love stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why wouldn't you? You'd want to have that stuff. And if people were giving them to you, you wouldn't be going, nah. Don't do any photos in low light. Nah, you hang on to that. I'm sure there's other people who'd love to have it. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for those who are interested in those exotic lenses, I thought that was interesting. And let's go from the sublime to the ridiculous, shall we?
Okay.
That Adam Davidson put over, I knew about this anyway, the new lens baby for iPhones.
Oh, okay. I think I did see this, and I made a comment about you and your dad jokes.
What, did you?
Yeah, you didn't see my response.
Who's going to want Glenn written all over their photographs? Boom, boom. No, you know what? When I saw that one, I was actually going to go up to a wall and write my name on a wall and take a photo and say, no, this has Glenn written all over it. But I love my lens baby. So I used to until I lost them all.
Right.
I've got all the lenses. I just lost their body. I think a customer at a workshop stole it.
Oh, happens really?
From time to time. People go home with gear.
Yeah, right. But
yeah, this is I love taking photos of my iPhone. I just do. I just love it. Love it. Love it. I was out location scouting today. I took a gorgeous shot of a little chair in this old abandoned homestead that I came across.
Right.
And it all, you know, munchy, crunchy, black and white, and it's awesome. And it's done with a phone. So yeah. I do love shooting with my phone. I love the immediacy of it. Yeah. But done well. Once again, I'll give it composed well and interesting and color or lack of color that suits the scene and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I took two photos that I really liked with that, and this I found this like little outhouse covered in all this bush, like vines and stuff growing through the roof of the outhouse and the door on this kind of really weird angle. So I took two photos photo with my iPhone on that as well, doing my location scan. So I love shooting with my iPhone. And then I saw this little gadget that just be bloody marvellous. Bloody, bloody marvellous. So, just, you know what it is?
No.
It's fun.
Sorry?
It's fun.
Oh, okay.
It's fun. It's okay to have fun. Yeah. We're not always out there trying to, you know, set up off-camera flashes and carry all the gear and all that sort of stuff. Sometimes we just want to have some snaps and have some fun. And that's I think that's what the iPhone does exceptionally well, or any camera phone that does a good job, obviously, not just the iPhone, because I'm not sponsored by Apple, so I shouldn't say that. So the Lens Babies, I always found Lens Babies to be very hard to use on traditional SLRs. And the funny thing is, depending on the size of the sensor you used, determine the complexity of using it. It was one of those things that was much harder to use. The bigger the sensor your camera got, the harder Lens Baby was to use.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And because once again, that depth of field issue, the minimal depth of, so actually the smaller the sensor, the easier it was to use. So on an iPhone, it must be just a dream to use. It's 0.3 of a millimeter sensor. It must be just loving this. So I'm waiting for, because I'm sponsored by Lens Baby, so I'm waiting for mine to show up.
Nice.
So it's sublime to the ridiculous. The most expensive 50mm lens in the world.
Yep.
Which is quite a laugh. I had an idea today. I know quite a few people in the music industry.
Yeah.
And in the US. And I was thinking, I'd love to suggest to one of them that I shoot their next album cover.
Yeah.
Only with an iPhone. Because imagine the publicity you get in the music world that the cover of your album is an iPhone shot. It's done with,
Well, as long as it's an album that's going to make some, noise.
They're good bands.
Yeah, okay.
well-known, internationally famous bands.
Right.
It's not like, Joe down the pub's got a little bit of, he's mixed a CD in the basement.
Yeah.
And he's handing out copies for $2 at the end of the concert.
Yeah.
No, not quite that.
Okay.
But anyway, I thought that'd be interesting to do an iPhone shoot.
Yeah.
For that. Hmm. Yeah.
Fair enough. Now, you had another link, 6 exercises to help you think like a pro.
Oh, yes, Zen. I came across this. The Zen of professional photography.
Yeah.
6 exercises to make you think like a pro. I thought, oh, here we go. Hello. Hey, I'm into this one. Especially when the first one was number one.
Do a few lines.
What the? A few lines of what? But this was okay. This I don't necessarily makes you think like a pro, or it's particularly zen. But shoot 10 subjects with lines to define composition.
Yep.
Using converging lines of roads, railway tracks, bridges, etc. Find patterns of lines in shadows on household items or in nature while composing the pictures, and try to visualize the lines and use them to create depth or lead the eye to the subject. Well, that's a good exercise to do.
Yep.
I thought, kudos for that one. That's not bad.
Yep.
Number two, I liked as well, find 2 things. And that was shoot 10 images with only 2 things in the photograph.
Right.
So some suitable examples would be sea and sky, rocks and water, mountains and clouds. We'd have to have the sky there as well, I'm thinking. But, just. And possibly trees. Yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself. But use the two, and also use the two objects to create as much depth as possible.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. I mean, simplifying photographs is a good thing, and telling the story as simply as possible. I agree completely with. So if you can go around as an exercise and say, I want to shoot this, but I want to shoot as little elements in the photograph as possible. It's not a bad exercise.
Yeah.
Then step number 3: find some bad lighting. Find, or here we go, create 10 backlit situations, such as a person or object in front of a window or a tree in front of a sunset, and use your camera's exposure compensation or flash to properly light the subject. It lost me there. It's all right to use the flash in auto mode. Really? Really? Because, when I teach flash, one of the very first things they do before they get, one of the last things they do before they get their flash off camera is to go out and do fill flash and just see how awful a job auto does.
Yeah, exactly.
It's either too flashed or not flashed enough, and it's learning how to override that auto to make the damn thing work. But, a good photographer is not looking for bad backlit bad lighting ever. You're not thinking like a pro if you're going to have to find some bad lighting. Yeah. So I fell off the 6. I didn't even go any further after that. So, but the link's there. should you want to go and either have a laugh or maybe find if there's anything more useful. But the first two exercises I thought were pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know, kudos for that. You know, yeah. I'm not completely taking them out of them. Because I thought that was pretty good as well, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. And I think that was all I had as well.
That was.
A fair few things, but that was about it, you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And someone's asked me on Facebook about one of the photos I posted of my daughter. I hope you pay her well for all of her hard work. So I have to divest that what this photo cost me. If anyone's ever going to look at this photograph, what this photo cost me and the pain and ongoing suffering I will be laden with for I don't know how long. My daughter said, Daddy, I'll have these photos. I'll help you with these photographs if you get on my iPad the oh, no, I can't remember the name of the song. What's that? Was that song with the silly dance and the, you know, that's all been
that
all
narrows
the
way. It down a bit.
You know, the last 2 years or so, people whoop, whoop, that sort of stuff, Gangnam Style.
Oh, okay.
Download the Gangnam Style video for me. Now, I wanted the shot, Bruce, so I had to say yes. But I'm buying a headphone. So people say, oh, no, she's such a... It costs to take photos. Now, we suffer for our art.
That's it.
And I'm suffering for a long time. Oh, dear. So what have you got up for the rest of the week, my friend? Anything exciting?
Well, tomorrow, Friday, quite a busy day at work. Saturday, a wedding of my best mate, Dave. Oh. Dave's getting married for the second time.
So you're a best man?
No, I'm not. I don't know if he's having a best man. Because it's a second wedding. I think they're just playing it really low key. It's a garden wedding in the backyard of his drummer's house.
Yep, you'll see who who's his best friend is tomorrow. he might be your best friend.
Yeah. So that's Saturday.
Does he have a brother?
No.
I was saying, because he'd probably go the safe route and say, I'll just pick my brother for this one, yeah.
We're also going to the archery store in Castle Hill to pick up a bow and quiver and arrows for Max.
Why?
Max and I have just taken up archery.
Again? Why?
What do you mean, again?
No, I said why, and then you said, because you and Max have taken up archery. I said, well, again, why?
Just because it's something that we both enjoy, and it's a good father and son thing. So it's target shooting. It's not out hunting.
So you're not going to put the apple on his head?
No. Okay. Not yet.
Because if you're going to, I want to come up and do some slow motion video on that. Yes. Funniest home video is here we come. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, that'd be a good thing to shoot too.
It would be. Yeah.
Once he's actually good at it, you'll be able to get sort of downwind, as in shooting over your shoulder.
Yeah.
And you actually capture the arrow coming out.
Yep.
The quiver.
Yep.
The quiver coming out of the arrow coming out of the bow.
Yes.
Because it's already out of the quiver to go into the bow. Yes. There we go.
The quiver is the thing that the arrows sit in while you're not shooting them.
You know why they call it a quiver?
I'm sure you'll have a great answer.
Well, I've never thought of it myself, but I'd imagine if you're like walking down the street and you see a guy come towards you and all of a sudden he starts pulling this thing out of his holder, you're going to start to quiver.
Right. Okay.
You'll get a little weak in the knees. Because you're not going to be able to run that sucker, are you?
No.
It's a good shot. No.
Mate, it's amazing to watch, and the physics of archery is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, sorry to sidetrack this, but arrows have what's called spine, which is all about how much an arrow bends. And
yes.
When you release the string, the acceleration is so rapid that the back end of the arrow starts moving quicker than the front end of the arrow, and it causes the arrow to bend outwards, and it actually curves around the part of the bow that you hold, which is called the riser.
Yeah.
And after the fletchers, which are the feathers at the back end of your arrow, as they go past the riser, the arrow then starts to bend back the other way because it's energy that's being transferred. So it actually fishtails a couple of times before it straightens out. It's really amazing. When you see it in slow motion, it's phenomenal.
I have seen them. Amazing how much flex there is in them.
Yeah.
I was watching a Time Team episode a long time ago, and there was talking about these guys back in the old days used to pull back the big bow and arrows. They're really big,
like a longbow.
Yeah, longbow guys. Their strength and their fingers to pull back those bow, they could lift up a 300-pound man.
Wow.
And they have all these massive shoulder, all the skeletons of these guys, all these have these major shoulder problems. Yeah, they could always tell what the occupation was by how the separation there is in their shoulder blades.
Yeah, right. Wow.
From the strength required from a young age to be able to pull these things.
Yeah.
Well, I've got Understand Your Camera tomorrow.
Yeah.
But Saturday we're doing on a road trip, so in a minibus of eight, bus, and we're driving to locations. That's why I've been out location scouting. Uh-huh. And I've got some cool places lined up.
So what's that workshop?
It's just called Road Trip. Basically, people have been to workshops.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just a day we get in the bus and we go for a drive with a model and see what we can find, take photos of.
Nice.
And so that's what we're doing. Yeah. And we've got a model in tow. We've got a vehicle. And the weather's looking, it's going to be moderately promising, but we've been doing some flash. we've got abandoned old bluestone homesteads to go into. Found an old abandoned railway carriage on a track.
Oh, nice.
I found this awesome set of, what do they call them? Ooh, lockers. You know, like you hang your coats and stuff in when you're back at school. But a set of three of these by the edge of the railway line, this beautiful old set.
Wow.
And great old, so I'm going to set that up and shoot that. Yeah, with our models. So we've got all sorts of cool stuff to do. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, how far out of Melbourne did you have to go to find these spots?
Oh, 15 minutes.
You serious?
Yeah, it's all within. It's all within. Well, I live 25K from Melbourne.
Yeah.
And they're all within 15 or 20K at the worst case scenario. And they're all in the same sort of region. They're all a couple of K from each other.
Yeah, right.
The old abandoned homestead has factories all around it. It's all that sort of stuff. So it's very urban, but it's also, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent. I'll look forward to seeing the images.
Spend a day out actually being creative for once rather than, talking about it quite so much. It's a little bit like the city walks I do where we walk through town with the model and we just take whatever inspiration comes our way.
Yep.
And we're going to do the same with this.
Nice.
It's going to be fun. I've got a couple of days to look forward to. Then my mum's birthday party. That's going to ruin the weekend. But.
Excellent. All right, mate. Will you have a good week?
I will. And to all, everybody out there, goodbye.
See you, mate.
See ya. Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.